we have a country that wants to build nuclear weapons and blow us off the face of the earth. And I personally am getting sick and tired of people saying, why are we doing this? Why are we doing this? What do you mean, why are we doing this? You think we just picked Iran out of a hat? What have we become here? For me to take a position like this, I'm a warmonger, I'm Israel first.
Mr. Levin, Israel's, Netanyahu's Mossad plan didn't work. We were right.
And was never successful in television at all. Right. And Hannity got him that job on the weekends. It never rated. It doesn't rate now. Nobody watched it just because he's not good.
You guys are reviled. And you want to hitch your wagon up to us and have us go off on your kamikaze mission for greater Israel.
The only impediment, the only obstacle to this beautiful vision is Hezbollah. They want war, not peace. They want death, not life. They will sacrifice as many of you as possible to achieve their sick aims. Don't let your future be dictated by medieval theocrats hell-bent on destroying our common civilization.
The whole world's turned against you. It's time to accept the gains you got blowing up most of Iran's equipment and their proxy armies. And you've got all your industry and per capita, you're the richest country in the world. We're falling apart. You should just shut up and go quiet and hope everybody moves on. But we know you're not going to do that. You're going to false flag to play victim. You're going to demonize your political opposition. You're continuing to control Congress.
Who do you care about more, the American people or Israel? American people or Israel, sir? Who do you care about more, the American people or Israel? No answer?
Who do you care about more, the American people or Israel? American people or Israel, sir?
Who do you care about more, the American people or Israel? Well, who do you care about more? American people or Israel, sir? Who do you care about more, the American people or Israel? American people or Israel, sir? Is it so hard to say you care about the American people who you're here to serve? I'm trying to ask all members I can this question, very simple. Who do you care about more, the American people or Israel?
American people.
You are the first to have given me that answer, sir. Thank you.
Yep. American people, number one, man.
You're going to continue to primary people. You're going to continue to go around terrorizing everybody with the ADL, the Southern Poverty Law Center, and it's just... it's going to end in total disaster. I'm like the FBI with a bullhorn talking to the bank robbers that have got hostages saying, you're already in a lot of trouble. You want to spend 20 years in prison or you want to have the SWAT team come in?
Come on out, Sonny.
And then even if you survive, you're going to end up on death row at a Supermax. Right. Come on. It's come on out. Come on. Put the gun down. Come on, Ben-Gavir, Netanyahu. Stop it. You can stop doubling down now. You have somehow taken the Islamics that used to be the most unpopular people in the world and turned them into victims. What a spectacular job you've done. You know, Israel prides itself on thinking long term. Well, you've not been thinking long term or second, third, fourth, fifth order effects. Because if you did, you'd listen to all the former Mossad chiefs that are living and almost every former top general. They've all gone public for over a year saying Netanyahu is going to trigger a giant war that will end up destroying Israel. So for all of you Israel worshipers, you Christian Zionists and you low-grade moron Zionists and all the rest of you idiots, if I really had it out for the Jews and I really wore secret Hitler underwear, I would be egging you on right now and telling you you're doing a great job. Napoleon said never interrupt your enemy when they're making a mistake. Well, I'm not your damn enemy. I am an enemy of your psychotic leaders that are out of their minds and who know that if they don't keep a war going, they're going to prison. And I don't like being held hostage by Ben-Gavir and Netanyahu. You like being held hostage by him? You got Stockholm Syndrome? You just go be mentally ill over there. But get out of our way.
Occupied North America. There is a war. It's happening now. It will decide the fate of humanity. The time has come to choose sides. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. Share the links now at
Now in the 21st century, it's time to stand up and realize that we should not allow ourselves to be crammed into this rat maze. We should not submit to dehumanization. The 21st century is going to be a new century. Not the century of slavery. Not the century of lies and issues of no significance and classism and statism and all the rest of the modes of control. It's going to be the age of humankind standing up for something pure and something right.
I have sworn upon the altar of God eternal hostility against every form of tyranny over the mind of man.
I want freedom! That's what I want! And that's what you should want!
You're listening to Alex Jones.
The truth is out there in front of you, but they lay out this buffet of lies. I'm sick of it, and I'm not going to take a bite out of it!
AlexJonesLive.com. Tomorrow's news today.
We just got done practicing killing. It's the end of the world, and we just smoking and chilling. We just got done practicing killing. It's the end of the world, and we just smoking and chilling. You know they did it. I told you they'd do it. They put the whole world on lockdown. You idiot. They won't admit it. The scam.
This is Stuart Rhodes, guest hosting today for the War Room. Glad to be here. A lot going on. I really think it's important for us to pay close attention to what is happening right now in Belfast, Ireland, and throughout all of Ireland and throughout the UK. I'm not surprised that we are seeing what's happening in Belfast. In fact, as a person of Irish and Scottish descent, I'm proud of my Irish. I think it's important for us to understand where we are. I think we're going to play for you a clip of Elon Musk talking to the mass Patriot rally in England a while back. And what he said, that warning, I think is important. In fact, if you guys don't mind, let's cue that up right now and just play what Elon Musk told the men of the UK. And I mean all of the men of the UK, not just the English, the Welsh, the Scottish, the Irish, all of them in the same position. So if you don't mind, Kurt, let's play that video or that recording of Elon Musk talking to the British.
The message is really, my message is to the reasonable center, the common sense. My appeal is to British common sense, which is to look carefully around you and say, if this continues, what world will you be living in? This is a message to the reasonable center, the people who ordinarily wouldn't get involved in politics, who just want to live their lives. They're quiet. They just go about their business. My message is to them, if this continues, that violence is going to come to you. You will have no choice. You're in a fundamental situation here whether you choose violence or not, violence is coming to you. You either fight back or you die.
And I think that's true, of course, not just for the English, but also, as I said, for all of the UK. And the reality in front of our face that we have to just grasp and understand is that this has been an intentional genocide against white people in Europe, in the UK, in Australia, New Zealand, and even here in the United States. This is all part of the same exact plan, which is to wipe European people off the face of the earth. It's not just even calling a great replacement as a euphemism. What it really is a great extermination. And we just have to recognize that. Doesn't mean that we become, you know, white identitarians and reject anybody who's not pure white. I mean, I'm not pure white, a quarter Mexican. I know a lot of the Proud Boys who are either Mexican or black. I look at Enrique Tarrio himself, half Cuban, half black. But they are committed to preserving Western civilization. And that's what's being wiped off the face of the earth. And that goes hand in hand with Europeans. It goes hand in hand with white Americans and white Anglo-Saxons across the Western world. They're trying to exterminate us. And I think the reason why is because they see us as people they can't control. Just being blunt about it. So whether you're pure white or not, that's not the point. If you are a Western, like the Proud Boys call themselves, Western chauvinists, if you are proud of your Western culture and you want to preserve it, you're the enemy of the globalists, of their desire to destroy freedom in the world. And in the end fight really is all the people of the planet against these small groups of elites. So, and of course, they want to pit us against each other along racial lines. But that's part of why they're invading the West with non-whites. That's why they're bringing in massive numbers of Muslims, massive numbers of people from Africa, and India. I mean, right here in Texas, we're seeing the invasion in Texas. And yes, some of them are nice, and some of them are conservative, but the vast majority of them are going to vote Democrat. And that's just part of reality. In Western culture, I met one like that not long after 9/11 when I was in law school. I was first summer, I was in Florida, and I talked to an Egyptian immigrant who had been in Egyptian Special Forces, went by the name Sam now, but he was married to a 6-foot-tall blonde German lady, walked around in a bikini, and he loved Western culture, loved the United States, and fled Egypt. Can't go back there because he'll be killed. But that was the dictatorship back then. So yes, there are exceptions, but those exceptions aren't the rule, obviously. That's why they're called exceptions. The vast majority of them are not going to assimilate, and that's the whole point. They're bringing in people who will not assimilate, who are antithetical. I think Islam is absolutely antithetical to Western civilization, to Christianity and Christian, this is what this is, the Christian culture. So it's antithetical, and it's going to destroy it, and that's the whole point. So I think that, well, I believe what's happening now in Ireland, I'm not surprised at all. This is starting to happen. And I think it's a good thing. I don't believe there's any way out. It's like Elon Musk told the men of Britain. If this continues, and it has, it's not stopping. All of their politicians continue to bring in more invaders, continue to protect the invaders, continue to suppress the indigenous people, and only protect, it's a one-way street. Police only protect the aggressive invaders. They don't protect the indigenous people of their countries. So the police in all these countries have sold out. The politicians in all these countries have sold out. So there you got a young man being arrested by the police in England. And because the man who stabbed him called him a racist, the police believe that and handcuff him and arrest him. And he's telling them he's been stabbed and he's bleeding out and they don't believe him. They just assume that the immigrant or the invader is correct. This guy's a racist and needs to go to jail. And all they're focused on is arresting the white guy while he bleeds to death. That's one of the catalysts for setting people off. The next one is the beheading that happened in Belfast, or the attempted beheading that happened in Belfast. But I'm just bringing this up to show you the pattern. Here's what happened in Belfast. Here you've got he was from Sudan, trying to cut this man's head off. And an important point is that across England, across the UK, Ireland, Scotland, they're all... The average law-abiding person is not allowed to carry any weapons at all. You're thrown in jail if you have a knife on you or a screwdriver. And so they walk around unarmed and easy to attack. And of course, the migrants carry weapons like crazy, and no one does anything to them. They're giving a slap on the wrist and set back out on the streets. So you got a guy, I think it's a cricket bat or something, or some kind of a sporting implement, trying to hit the guy in the head to get him off of him. So you've got unarmed Irish, English, and Scottish who have to then try to fight against, blade-wielding, armed invaders. And this is what finally set the Irish off in Belfast. And it's not a surprise it's in Northern Ireland, because that's a warrior culture. They've been fighting each other there for generations, the Protestants and the Catholics. I just hope and pray that they will all put that sectarian violence aside. I understand there's a lot of animosity among them still to this day because of the controversy over Northern Ireland. but they should set that aside and unite to repel the invaders. And it's come to the point where they just have no other choice. There's no political solution for them left. I don't believe that's true for the Irish. I don't believe it's true for the Scottish. And I don't believe it's true for the English. There's no political solution because all of their politicians have sold out. And the ones who are strong are in the tiny minority. And really, the reality is here in the United States, it's much the same. We have a repeated pattern of people that we hire, that we elect into office, who go, who send to Washington, D.C. to fix this and to reverse course and save our country, and then they sell out, with very few exceptions. And the ones that aren't sold out are driven out. They just drove Thomas Massie out. They just drove out Marjorie Taylor Greene. So as far as I'm concerned, this is a methodical war to wipe out Western civilization. And I said last time I was on Alex's show talking about Zionism, I won't shut my eyes any longer or keep my mouth shut to what I see and what I hear coming out of their own mouths. That one rabbi was talking about how, you know, Islam is the broom of Zionism to sweep away the Christian West. And they also say that only when the Christian West is destroyed, the Christianity is wiped out, will their Jewish Messiah return. And so you've got people who are, it's part of their theology, it's part of their religious commitment, their religious belief, sponsoring and furthering the invasion and destruction of the West to fulfill what they believe is their prophecies. So we have to just recognize reality. Does it mean every Jew is like that? Of course not. It doesn't mean every Jew is like that, but it means that is what's being done, and it's being done across the West. And I talked about how at Yale Law School, I was a student there in 2001 or 2004. I had plenty of other students that were there who were dual citizen Israeli, and they were atheists and communists, hated Western civilization, hated our Constitution, wanted to destroy it, hated Christians, wanted to destroy Christianity, but absolutely loyal to Israel. And so we, American patriots, have got to recognize the reality in front of our face. You can't let the demonization and the smear campaigns of ADL, Southern Poverty Law Center, or the mainstream media, or anybody else, deter you from recognizing what's happening in front of your face. It's not a great replacement. It's a great extermination. It is a genocide against the West and against white Europeans all over the world, whether they're in South Africa, whether they're in Australia or New Zealand. It's the same campaign. It's to bring in third worlders who have an alien culture in large enough numbers that the native population eventually is exterminated, wiped out, either through violence or just through demographic change and outpopulation. And that's happening right here in Texas where I live. I saw it in Dallas. Well, I moved out of Dallas-Fort Worth area. I got tired of it. You got women walking down the streets. I used to live in Princeton, just, you know, East Dallas. And you'd see women walking down the streets in, you know, full beekeeper suits, full black suits, going up and down the streets in larger and larger numbers. And they're just bringing them in as part of a strategy. The obvious strategy is to take over Texas. And that goes not just for the Muslims, but also for the Indians. They are going to vote overwhelmingly Democratic. There's a few exceptions, of course. And we just had one guy who was our state chair with GOP, was an Indian. But the overwhelming number of them are going to vote Democratic. And that is meant to usher in a permanent change in this country, because if Texas goes down and becomes, and flips blue, becomes a Democrat stronghold, you will never see another Republican president. Of course, you might say, well, what's the difference? You've got the Republicans bringing in large numbers of H-1B visa people. And once again, I'm not saying, it's to me, it's not a racial issue. I'm not opposed to there being a couple of Indians in my, you know, dot and dot feather in my neighborhood. I'm fine with that. But I don't want to live in India. I want to live in New Delhi. You know, I don't want to have a transplanted India taking over Texas. So we have got to stand up, and we're going to have to just follow the example of the Irish. I think it's going to spread. I believe right now it's starting to spread to Scotland. If you have any footage from what's going on there with the folks in Glasgow, they're starting to spread there. You're seeing a lot of men marching now in both Ireland and in Scotland, dressed head to toe in black with black face masks on. You know, they look kind of like IRA fighters, right? So they're doing that because they know the police will use facial recognition cameras to try to identify them later. And so they, you know, the powers that be with their total surveillance state, absolute 100% 24/7 surveillance of the people, they're forcing the people to act like IRA resistance fighters. They have to cover their faces and also, in some ways, acting like Antifa. Here in the United States, Antifa would dress head to toe in black. In fact, all over Europe, too. They're dressed head to toe in black for a purpose. So that's hard to identify an individual, hard to identify who's doing what and who's who. They blend in. Now, there's the Muslims marching. This is a massive Muslim march, which no one did anything about in England. When they were marching, it was fine. But when the whites come out to march, then all of a sudden, Keir Starmer saying it's unacceptable. So it's only a one-way street. The invaders are allowed to pillage, walk around with weapons, assault people, rape people. All of that's fine. If you say anything about it, you're a racist. That's a label thrown at you. And when you respond in kind by burning out migrant homes, evicting them, and driving them out of your neighborhoods, then now you're a terrorist. So be it. That's what's going to happen. That's what's happening right now in Ireland. The people are taking it into their own hands, and I don't blame them. And yes, I can feel sorry for the immigrant who came here or came there trying to be peaceful and wanting to assimilate, but that's not the norm. They're being caught up. This is the reality of what happens when people don't have a political solution. They're going to take the law into their own hands, and they have no choice. Because if they don't, Ireland is going to disappear. The Irish will disappear. Scotland will disappear. The Scottish will be wiped off the face of the earth. The last refuge of the Scottish will be probably Appalachia here in the United States, but they'll be driven out of there too eventually. That's the plan. So I don't want it to be a race war. I don't want a worldwide race war, but I do think Americans need to unite and say all the people that were brought here as part of this campaign to destroy Western civilization need to be sent back, sent home, back where they came from. They can do just fine back where they came from. You're not asking them to do anything other than go home. And our politicians won't do it, so we're going to have to do it ourselves. I believe that's what's necessary. I think this is the reality in front of our faces. They're not going to stop. So what Elon Musk told the British rally is true for all of us around the world in Western civilization, is that it's not going to stop, and we're going to have to fight. So I encourage you just to prepare yourself, mind, body, and spirit. I'm doing hill sprints. I'm flipping tires and slamming sledgehammers against them. I'm hitting the heavy bag and getting myself back in shape. Even though I'm 61 years old, I'm getting myself as ready as I can be. And I'll be hitting the MMA mats here again soon, looking for a good place to go. But I encourage all of you men, get yourselves in shape and get ready. It's coming. We have to recognize that. And maybe this will be my last appearance on the Alex Jones Show because I'm crossing the line. But this is a reality in front of your face. You can't deny the reality in front of your face. You're going to have to fight. You're not going to be able to fix it through politics, certainly not politics alone. Yes, local politics matter. Who your sheriff is matter. Who your county judge is matter. We saw that during COVID. It does matter. You're not going to fix it in Washington, D.C. It's too far gone. It's too corrupt. By the time you ever took back the Republican Party and fixed things at the national level, it's too late. So you're going to have to fight. Doesn't mean you don't put a good person up for the White House the next time around. Try to find a hardcore patriot, but man, what's been the pattern? The pattern has been we trust people to go to Washington, D.C. to fight for us, and then they betray us. The bad guys know all they have to do is go to that person with enough carrot or stick, and they compromise and sell out. We've seen it over and over and over again. It's the pattern in human history. So again, look at what's happening in Belfast. It's not politicians leading that. It's the people themselves. Especially the young Irish who are getting up and saying, enough is enough. And I believe it's going to spread to Scotland next and then to the UK in general, England and Wales. I think it's going to spread everywhere. And I think they have no choice. And so I think it's a good thing. In the end, it's a good thing. What other choice do they have? Like Elon Musk said, violence is going to come to you. If you just wait and do nothing now, it's going to get to you eventually. So you might as well stand up now, united, all together, and get it done. And it'll probably mean a revolution throughout the UK, not just against the invaders, but against the corrupt traitors who brought them in, the sellouts and all the political parties across the Western world have sold us down the river, and it's going to require us to clean a house. So that's what's happening now in Ireland and Scotland, and I applaud it. And I don't care what anyone says about me or about that position. Like Patrick Henry said long ago, on the eve of the American Revolution kicking off. He said, what would men wish? What do they want? They're going to delude themselves with false hope and hug that phantom until they are bound like beasts, he said, chained head to toe. He said, it's better to see the truth, the awful truth, and then to provide for it, to prepare for it, and do something about it. And he gave that speech. When he gave that speech, it was in support of his own bill to raise militia in every county in Virginia. And it passed. When he gave that speech in support of his own bill, he won. His bill passed. They began to form militia. This is in March of 1775, just before the fighting began in Concord and Lexington in April. They began to raise militia in every county and get ready. And in fact, Patrick Kennedy himself became the leader of the Hanover County, Virginia militia just weeks before the fighting began up in Massachusetts. So I think we're in the same position. We, the people of the West, Western civilization across the entire West, including here in the United States, need to recognize you're not going to fix this politically. You're not going to fix this through a pure political solution. The founders used local politics. They took over the town council meeting level. At the county level, that's where they fought. They weren't trying to take over the Parliament of England. They had no recourse there. Washington, D.C. is as corrupt and is as inaccessible to you, to us, as the Parliament in England was in their day. You're not going to fix what's going on in Washington, D.C. any more than they could have fixed what was going on in Parliament in London, all the way from America. It's the same problem. You're not going to fix that political problem. So you have got to get ready for the fight that's coming. And like I said, I'm risking a lot by saying this. You know, I'm trying to get my hopefully a dismissal of my charges, get my rights restored, but I can't keep my mouth shut. I think I have a duty to speak out and tell the truth. Like I said last time, Alexander Solzhenitsyn urged us, live not by lies. That's the first step. Don't participate in lies. It's a lie to say that you're going to fix Washington, D.C., that you're somehow going to reform the Republican Party and then take over Washington, D.C. and bring about change through politics. That's a lie. It's not going to happen. It's too late. The failure, absolute capture and failure of the Trump administration right now shows you just what a lie that is. And when we come back from break, I'll talk about a little bit about what Alex said today about Q and how was a setup from inside the Trump administration, hopefully for good intent initially, but then used at the PSYOP. It's just one more example of the failures of politics in the United States. And as I said when I was talking to Alex last time, I hope President Trump remember his actual mission, what he was hired to do. Whatever's going on inside of his head, whether he's made a deal for his family and himself, whether he has knowingly compromised and sold us out, whatever's going on inside of his head, he was hired by we the people of the United States three times now to clean the house and save our republic. Nothing else matters more than that. Everything else needs to be set aside. Just like the Irish in Northern Ireland, Protestant and Catholic, need to set aside their differences and fight the common enemy. Same thing has to happen here in the United States. We've got to set aside all this crap, all this inside fighting among ourselves about whether or not President Trump is still on track or not, and push him to do what we sent him there to do. All right, come back from the break. We'll talk about Q and a bunch of other stuff happening right now. Thank you for joining. Appreciate it.
Inflation is up. That's an issue. So how does Berkshire handle that with its businesses?
Well, we can't handle runaway inflation except not to be there. But there are dozens and dozens of countries that have experienced it. And of course, you have countries that have gone bankrupt like six or seven times. I mean, not having faith in the money does to a country. It turns it into something else. Yeah. And I've always hoped that U.S. never does it, but we are not immune from it happening.
Dollar collapse means we keep continuing on where we are. Dollar devalues. We've got massive inflation. You raise interest rates to slow that inflation down. So the implications of that are bond market is toast. because the value of bonds, the price of bonds comes down as interest rates rise. The inverse is also true. When interest rates come down, the value of bonds goes up. So as you raise interest rates, the value of bonds comes down. Who's allocated into bonds? The bond market is way larger than the equity market, the stock market. So you've got pension funds that are allocated into bonds, right? Anybody that's on a fixed income, banks are allocated into bonds. Consider this, an insurance company. Most insurance companies across the country are allocated about 90% into the bond market with their internal portfolios. What does an insurance company do? It pays beneficiaries when people die, right? So if the asset that they have to sell to pay those beneficiaries is coming down in price, this is gonna have a cataclysmic effect on the insurance industry, on pension funds, on everything, and on the banking system.
And let's be clear though, a dollar being the world currency is how we could just print it and buy whatever we wanted. If the world sees it like the Mexican peso or worse, we're screwed.
Yeah, because that was our get out of jail free card, right? We could print as much money as we want and everybody around the world still needed the US dollar. If you don't have reserve currency status like every other country, other than the one that has reserve currency status, when you print excessively, people no longer want your currency. Don't let the news scare you, but rather use the wisdom, the creativity that God gave you. Go into tangible assets that have zero counterparty risk. Silver was up over 140% last year. Since January 30th, when it corrected and it had a 50% correction, went down into the 60s, it's almost 90. Literally, since February, silver's up over 30%, Alex. So you can roll over your IRAs. You have an old 401k, roll that over. Your brokerage accounts, take delivery of it at home or store it at a depository. If you don't want to take delivery of it at home, we'll walk you through that, answer your questions, make sure that you feel comfortable with everything, because it's ultimately your decision. We're just here to help guide and go on this journey with you. 1,000-ounce bars of silver, 100-ounce bars, 10-ounce bars, or 1-ounce generic refinery rounds.
But then you can roll over the financial instruments too.
1-ounce gold bars or kilo bars, IRAs. If it has IRA in the name, simple, SEP, Roth, traditional, inherited, we can do that. Or you can do just a brokerage account that you just wire as funds, and it's a non-IRA account.
Is it wholesale? And are they buying it back with no cost? No fee. This is the place to go. And we'll get into gold and silver as well. Dr. Kirk Elliott, KEPM.com/gold. That way they know it comes from us. So it supports the broadcast, KEPM.com/gold, or 720-605-3900, 720-605-3900. Call and get a free consultation. Or sign up for email. They'll call you back. They can also roll over a lot of financial instruments. This is the place to go, KEPM.com/gold. So gold and silver is the way to go. The best investment the last 2+ years. And you can just check the wholesale price every day. That's what you get it for. You sell it back. For no cost, nobody else of any size does that. That's real.
Okay, this is Stuart Rhodes coming back in, guest hosting today for the War Room. If the crew doesn't mind, let's play the compare and contrast over the reaction of the Prime Minister of England to the George Floyd situation, and then compare that to how he reacted to Henry Nowak being murdered under police custody. You can compare and contrast those two videos.
Black lives matter. Black lives matter. Black lives matter. Black lives matter. Like you, I was shocked and angered at the killing of George Floyd and the response of President Trump and the US authorities to the peaceful protests, to people rightly demanding justice, has been an affront to humanity. The last week has shone a spotlight
on the racism, discrimination, and injustice experienced by those from black and minority ethnic communities in the US, in the UK, and across the world. Martin Luther King said, "Injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere." That's why today I've written to the Prime Minister asking for his assurance that the British government is doing all that it can to urge President Trump to respect human rights and the fundamental democratic right to peaceful protest. And this week, Labour has called on the UK government to ensure that our exports are not being used in the suppression of democratic rights in the US. But we must also reflect on the injustices in our own country. We must address the reality and the impact of anti-black racism, which has been highlighted by the Black Lives Matter movement. Now, more than ever, it's incumbent upon us all to ensure that this is a turning point. We must face up to and understand and address the systemic racial discrimination that exists in our own communities. The Labour Party stands with black communities in our country and across the world because black lives matter.
So you'll never hear him say that about white lives matter. You'll never hear any politician in the West, with very few exceptions, say anything that is a parallel to that when a white man is killed anywhere in the West. And in reaction to the Belfast attempted beheading, if we could show how he attacked Elon Musk out of the gate, because Elon Musk showed the video on X and it spread all over the place. And so now you've got the Prime Minister of England blaming Elon Musk for showing the truth about what happened on the street in Belfast and saying that's the reason why there's now an uprising. And you got leftist journalists, gatekeepers all over the West saying the same thing, that the right wing, the radical, you know, racist right is taking advantage of this, you know, unfortunate killing or attempted killing in Belfast to push their radical agenda of anti-immigrant sentiment. So if we can show his attack on Elon Musk, that'd be great. We're going to take phone calls.
We need to also assert who we are as a country, because Musk, again, has been interfering in our politics in the last few days, trying to whip up division. That is not who we are in Britain. In Britain, we are reasonable, tolerant people. When we have a terrible case like Henry's case, Henry Novak, we react calmly, as his family have done. When it comes to disgusting images on Grok, we take Grok on and fight, because that's who we are as a country.
So they want you to stay calm when their invaders that they brought in intentionally to destroy your culture and wipe you off the face of the earth. They want you to stay calm when there's video of one of them trying to cut off your head, or there's video of, in police custody, a young man who was stabbed, a young Englishman who was stabbed in one of these invaders. They want you to be calm as he's cuffed. He's not given medical treatment. Instead, he's just handcuffed and arrested. And they're taking him off to jail as he bleeds to death and bleeds out. They don't even look for the wounds. They don't even look to see if he's telling the truth about being stabbed. They just cuff him. And they want you to stay calm about that. So when you have a black man arrested, whatever the circumstances, he dies in police custody, they justify riots, burning down half the country. That's all acceptable and actually lauded and applauded by them. But when we react, when white people in England or UK, anyone in the UK, Ireland, Scotland, or here in the United States, when we react to what's being done to us, they call us racist. They call us extreme. They say that we're going too far. It's always a one-way street. The invaders are allowed to do whatever they want. We're never allowed to defend ourselves. We're criticized if we do. And when we rise up, they label us terrorists, just the way it's going to be. So be it. So we're going to take phone calls now. You want to call in and talk? Call in 512-266-0642, and let's talk. So we're waiting for the calls to come in. Let's go ahead and talk about Q. So earlier today, Alex revealed that he had known for a long time that he was using under his discretion as a journalist. He was protecting a source. Didn't want to spill the beans about the origins of Q. But today, after it's been disclosed by others, he came out and said, okay, Q was originally formed in the White House during the first Trump administration by Steve Bannon and others in the White House as a good guy, white hat operation to get information out. And that's the supposed origin of Q was that. And then it was then later taken over by the bad guys. I mean, no surprise. Whenever you have an anonymous entity, like Anonymous or Q, where anyone can say they're Q or Anonymous, it's vulnerable to capture. And so that's what Alex is disclosing today. That it was originally Steve Bannon that created it inside the White House. I'm going to give Bannon the benefit of a doubt and presume that it was done with good intent out of the gate, but then it was captured. You know, who knows? We live in the House of Mirrors. Now, apparently, Jeffrey Epstein hasn't had involvement in Q and other offshoots. And so it's possible that from the very beginning it was going to be a PSYOP. But even if it was a good guy operation from the very beginning, at the very beginning, it was then quickly taken over and captured and then used to spread disinformation to get people to sit and wait and trust the plan. That's what happened in this country. So I think it's really good that Alex came out today and exposed what happened with Q and how it went, how it was quickly subverted and captured. That way we can hopefully deprogram all of the people out there who are still believers in Q and still waiting for this magical plan to materialize. As Marjorie Taylor Greene said in her resignation letter, there is no 5D chess. There is no grand plan to save the planet. Stop trusting the plan. So hopefully now people will let go of all of that, understand that they were involved, that they were victims of a PSYOP, and now just face the reality in front of their face. And the reality in front of our face is that no one is coming to save us, and so we're going to have to save ourselves. So as we get calls coming in, we can talk about this, and we can talk about what's going on in Ireland and Scotland and Wales and the UK, or anything else you want to talk about, go ahead and call on in. So I just want to say, as a former political prisoner, a man among those others that went to prison for President Trump, for MAGA, for our country, I don't regret that because I was being loyal to my country. I will not, like Solzhenitsyn said, don't live not by lies, don't participate in a lie. I was not going to participate in a lie by taking a deal. I could have avoided prison. My co-defendants, Kelly Meggs, Jessica Watkins, Kenny Harrelson, all of us could have avoided prison time if we had agreed to roll over and bear false witness against President Trump. Same is true of the Proud Boys, Ricky Chario, Joe Biggs, Dominic Pozzola, Jack Reel. All those guys also could have gone home and avoided any prison time at all. Didn't have to go through years in solitary confinement. Didn't have to go through years in prison, long sentences, a show trial in Washington, D.C. But all of us stuck by our guns, refused to take a deal, and went to trial. Even though we knew that the outcome was going to be a guilty verdict, we would not participate in the lie. And I think that we can still hold our heads high because we served our country by doing that. Even if it's the worst case scenario, it turns out that President Trump has turned on our country and sold out. God forbid that's the truth. If that's the truth, as was said earlier today by Michael Young, then we have to deal with that. I'm going to still hope that he can be redeemed. As a Christian, I firmly believe that everyone will be redeemed. No man's beyond redemption. So I hope President Trump remembers why we sent him there. We hired him. The people of this country hired him three times to save our country, to make America great again. That means to do mass deportation. It means to build the wall and secure our border. It means to restore American industry and oil. It means to bring our troops home from all over the world and not get involved in forever wars, only help the bankers, the profiteers, the war profiteers, the military-industrial complex. We don't want another repeat of the disaster of Iraq or Afghanistan. And so those war hawks out there right now who are currently championing and supporting President Trump's war on Iran, just remember the Iran war, or the Iraq war, I mean, the Iraq war and Afghanistan. Look at how that turned out. They turned, both of them were disasters. And they were disasters by design. The deep state wants perpetual war, and they want what happened, the outcome we had, because it destabilized the Middle East. In fact, all over the Middle East, you saw destabilized countries, and you saw exporting a dysphoria of Muslims who were, you know, refugees from war being sent all over the West. That's part of the design, part of the planned destruction of Western civilization, was a destabilization of the entire Middle East, caused that dysphoria, to cause that mass migration out of the Middle East. And then they facilitated that. They made sure it happened, made sure that it came into all the Western countries. You notice one country where they're not bringing a whole bunch of Muslim immigrants, they're not bringing them into Tel Aviv or into Israel. They're not being sent there. But why is that? Because they don't want them there. But they do want them all over our countries. And so we just have to accept the reality where we're at and be willing to see the truth, the hard truth in front of us, and then do something about it. And so I believe the best thing we can do right now, the time we have left, is to continue to push President Trump, because he is still in the hot seat, and remind him that we sent you there. You work for us. Just like every Congress critter works for us, supposedly. They really don't. That's the theory, right? They're supposedly working for us. So we could still go to President Trump and say, not begging him to help us, but demanding that he help us, and say, you work for us. We hired you for this purpose, to save our country. You raised your right hand and swore on the Bible that you would defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic, and as president, that you would faithfully execute the laws of the Union. That's what you swore to do. So hold him to that promise. So he would hold your congressman to that promise when he's gone off the rails and gone against what's right for our country. When you go to a town hall meeting with your congressman, you don't let him slide. You hit him over the head with what the facts are, what he's done wrong. The same is true of President Trump. Even if in the past you were willing to give him a pass on things that he did or said that you don't like, that don't fit with the agenda, it's time to just hold him to his feet to the fire. MAGA cannot be just whatever he says it is. That's ridiculous. When I voted for him in 2016, and he was inaugurated in 2017, it was because of his promises to save our country. Everything I listed, secure the border, mass deportations, to make America great again, return industry to the United States, and also to end forever wars. All of that was designed to make this country strong and put America first. And that's why we elected him. It's retarded to say, well, once he became president, because he's a leader of the MAGA movement, that MAGA now is whatever he says it is. So now MAGA could be the exact opposite. Instead of mass deportations, oh, well, now we need them here because they're actually good workers. We need good workers. And, oh, H-1B visas, well, go ahead and let that slide because we need those people, because we don't have anybody in our country that can do that kind of work. And so when he goes back on a campaign promise like that, a fundamental campaign promise of sending home, of reverse migration, sending home all of these invaders into our country, how can any of you say that that's really MAGA? That now MAGA is, because MAGA is whatever President Trump says it is, now MAGA is, oh, we're going to let millions stay here. We're going to give them asylum eventually, citizenship eventually. That's what's going to happen. There'll be an amnesty period. Next Democrat, next Republican that comes in, we'll give them mass amnesty. So is that now MAGA because Trump says so? I don't believe that. MAGA is what we understood when we voted for him. It's his campaign promises. The MAGA agenda is what we hired him to do after he promised us in his campaigns. So that is the real MAGA agenda. It can't be something inverted from that just because Trump says so. He is our representative. He is our stand-in for us to go to D.C. and clean house, to drain the swamp. And if he's going to turn on that mission, then he is no longer MAGA. MAGA, we didn't leave him. He left us. So that's what he needs to be told, is that you need to get back on track, set aside your ego. MAGA is not just whatever you say it is. It is what we say it is. It's what we hired you to do 3 times based on your campaign promises. And I would also say this to President Trump, MAGA is your oath. It's your oath that you swore when you raised your right hand and swore to support and defend the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic, and to execute the laws of the Union, to faithfully execute the laws of the Union as the President of the United States. That is what MAGA is. Make America Great Again has to be defend the Constitution. If you're not defending the Constitution, you're not making America great again. If you're putting a foreign nation's interest above ours, you're not making America great again, and you're not honoring your oath. So he has got to be held. Hold his feet to the fire. Any of you that are going to the EOC event this weekend, hopefully some of you have gotten tickets. When you're inside there, call him out. He'll hear you. He's right there in the crowd. He'll hear you in the crowd. If he shows Benjamin Netanyahu's there, you need to boo Benjamin Netanyahu. Give him a send home back to Israel. Make it very clear that you don't approve of him being our actual proxy president. That's our stand-in president right now is Benjamin Netanyahu. By President Trump's own admissions, it was Benjamin Netanyahu decided to go to war with Iran for us. They decided what our policy is going to be. And I want to talk about something else that a lot of conservatives just don't talk about anymore, and that is the congressional power of declaration of war. How can it be in a country with a written constitution like ours that delegates that war-making power, the power to declare wars, to Congress, that it's somehow now a constitutionalist position or a conservative position that we don't need to do that anymore? Instead, whoever's in the White House, one man can decide to take this entire nation to war, to invade another country and take it over, or to engage in acts of war. That is not the founders' design. And why they didn't do that is they didn't want one man. In their genius, in their brilliance, they understood that one man is vulnerable to making bad decisions. One man is vulnerable also to capture by special interests. They didn't want one man deciding to take us to war. They wanted one man as a commander-in-chief when war was declared. That made perfect sense. But it was the Continental Congress that decided to go to war, not General Washington. They delegated war-making to him once they decided to separate from England and fight that war. So that is where the decision-making power should be, is in the hands of us, the people, through our representatives, through the Congress, through the House and the Senate, which are closer to the people. And that will hopefully, even as corrupt as our current politicians are, that would be hopefully a better outcome than having one man decide to go to war who's vulnerable to capture. And I don't care if you support the war in Iran or not. That's not the point. Whatever happened to the Constitution? Whatever happened to the idea that Congress declares wars? That doesn't mean that a president can't defend us like Thomas Jefferson did when he sent the U.S. Navy and Marine Corps to go take down the Barbary Coast pirates who were preying on American shipping in the Mediterranean and along the coast of Africa. You can defend yourself. Any naval commander can defend his ship against attack. Any commander of armed forces anywhere in the world, the United American Armed Forces, can defend themselves, of course. That's not the point. I'm talking about deciding to go to war with another country. That should be in the hands of Congress. In fact, it is in the hands of Congress. According to Article 1, Section 8, that's one of the powers of Congress. It doesn't say anything about declaring war in the hands of the President of the United States. He's the commander-in-chief once war is declared by Congress. He's in the commander-in-chief also to defend against attack. Immediate attack on our nation, of course he defends. He doesn't have to wait for Congress to do a vote to defend. Of course he defends right now. So, but we're talking about deciding to go to war with another nation. It should be a vote in Congress. It should be a declaration of war. And so if you call yourself a conservative and call yourself a constitutionalist, I encourage you to go back and look at the Constitution and then get back on track of taking that seriously. That's what we have to do. But in the end, all we can do is prepare ourselves, mind, body, and spirit, prepare our local communities. We are headed for tough times ahead. You're not going to fix this through politics alone. Like I said, we're going down the founder's path. That's just blunt reality. And the people of Ireland and Scotland and England are also, ironically, going down the same exact path as the American founding fathers today also. I would encourage all of them, all the men of the West, to go back and look at how the founding fathers of America handled it when they realized they had no recourse in politics, conventional politics. They took over locally. They got strong locally. They started committees of correspondence. They started committees of safety. They could take safety of their own safety into their own hands. They raised their own militia locally, and they prepared themselves with an alternate set of government outside of the corrupt government system. They knew that the royal governors were corrupt. They knew that they could get nothing out of parliament. And so they set up their own alternative government while they were resisting. And on the way to actual fighting breaking out, they already had local control, local town and county government, and they had these alternate structures. Like I said, the Committee of Correspondence was later turned into a Continental Congress. Excuse me. They set that up in advance. So same thing's going to have to happen now, but at a much faster rate. I believe it's what's happening right now in England and in Scotland and Ireland, is you are seeing the men, the actual patriots of the UK, of the British Isles, coming together in the streets, and they will form their own government in waiting, their own shadow government, their own alternate government among themselves, and make their own decisions about what needs to be done and where it needs to be done and how it needs to be done, and they're going to do it. And in the end, their government will try to suppress them brutally, most likely, just like the Crown tried to suppress the colonists brutally. So I would encourage all across the West, Australia, New Zealand, Ireland, Scotland, the UK, and here in the United States, dust off. A really good book to read is 1776. A really good book now it's the 250th anniversary of the United States. Great book to read right now by McCullough is 1776, about the first year of war in the colonies. And you can go back and look at the lead up on the way to Lexington Conquer, the resistance, the Sons of Liberty, tarring and feathering tax collectors. All of that was done by the colonists as a lead up to outright warfare for independence. It's not a direct parallel, of course, but it's a lot of learned lessons learned and good history there for us to take to heart. Look at how they did it and think about how that transfers over into modern times. What it really means is local. The patriots decide what they're going to do. One thing I'll say in closing is that the founding fathers, the patriots who fought against the crown, didn't give the loyalists, didn't give the Tories in America, the ones who were loyal to the king and resisted against independence, they did not give them a vote. They didn't allow them to have a say in a Continental Congress. They separated themselves from the traitors, from those who had sworn against liberty, had sworn for tyranny. They divided themselves from them, did not give them a vote, and they decided among themselves what needed to be done, and then they did it. Take that to heart. God bless.
Hi, folks. Doc Bigley here. And today we're going to get to know our H2O. Billy, what kind of water do you drink?
Why, tap water, of course. Ma says it keeps my teeth sparkly white.
I'm sorry to say it, Billy, but your mother is either plain ignorant or worse, a communist. Let me explain.
Tap water used to be safe to drink, but communist subversives in our government introduced fluoride into our nation's tap under the guise of dental health, when in reality, fluoride lowers your IQ, calcifies your pineal gland, and makes you susceptible to anti-capitalist mind viruses.
So you're telling me I'm a sap if I drink tap?
Yes, you are, Billy. Yes, you are. But don't despair. We've found a solution. Follow me. I'd like to tell you a tale of two frogs.
Frog number one has only ever drank unfiltered tap water, chock full of fluoride. Observe him listening to satanic music, abusing substances, and engaging in other perversions.
Look, Doc, they're trying to play leapfrog. They're pretty bad at it, though.
Avert your eyes, Billy. Let's continue.
Meanwhile, frog number two has only ever drank water that has been filtered for fluoride and other impurities. What a happy frog family.
Spill the secret, Doc. How do you get rid of the communist poisons?
With the new water filter system from the alexjonesstore.com.
Say, Doc, may I have a glass?
Why, certainly. Well, that's just swell. No water in the water filter. Listen,
I'm not mad at the crew, but I asked for real water in here 30 minutes ago and never got it.
Crew's in trouble again.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.